Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting in the darkness, thinking like a marksman. So cold as ice, fine nigga, where your heart went? I'm bigger than this apartment, I'm bigger than this building. I'm trying to make a million, one better for my children, one better for my moms, a lot more for my grams. I'm an uncrowned king, still try to be a man. Y'all wouldn't understand how I'm living off the land, or the supply and demand, trying to get all I can. I'm a rebel to America, fell in love with Erica. Fuck what you heard, nigga, listen what I'm telling ya. Every day a kid gets murdered in the hood, but now when the birds are getting murdered over hoods, we don't rep Rack City, we rack in every city. If you rack, nigga, hit me, come out and rack with me. I'm trying to catch 50 in a 400 mil. Tell Lighty I'm back, and I'm looking for a deal. For life is for real. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut. I'm into it, every step I take is so intimate. Walking like a man, I ain't living a pimp and shit. How much would I give for this? And I'm looking for the bullets that fit into the clip for this. Watch who you do business with, cause ain't nobody a man or your fam when that fan hits shit. We trying to blow like handkerchiefs, trying to blow like the girl on your mirror, your man just sniff. There's a global demand for this. Spanish kid, revolutionary but gangster shit. You can rid the game of this cast if you study the manuscript of who the young lords of Black Panther was. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut.
Homem duto, lona duto, duto nini, duto larubá, duto ifalolá, duto aibungu, duto echu, duto alawei, coco e favi. E baien, baien, baien tunu, que tem beleza ni olo do mare. Bobo a uo, e a locha, a locha, a oricha, bobo bule mo alanya, bobo a pedevi, bobo mo keke, bobo a leio que coa ile.
Peace, 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 Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio. Place for Knowledge is Born. This is your host, Knowledge Born a Lot, and we are here on our Talk Black and New Tuesday, dedicated to self-empowerment and uplifting of African people. That phone number calling 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions and your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some people to others. Special guest by special request, long awaited, highly anticipated brother who has been making moves with our brothers and sisters behind enemy lines for some time now. He's also a host of George Jackson University Radio, speaking none other than my air life, a comrade, Romani Hulu Jihad Shakur is in the building.
Free land, comrade.
Free land.
Free land. Peace to God. Yeah, before I even start out, man, I want to thank you for inviting me onto your broadcast, share my knowledge with some understanding. Before I even say anything, I want to send a shout out to some of the ancestors. Like today, it's the born day for the ancestor, Dr. Ben.
Yeah,
Dr. Ben.
Yeah.
The ancestor's birthday. And then tomorrow, the birthday to answer Dr. John Henry Clark. Dr. Ben, real close comrades. Yeah. And then also today, there is the born day of the late Bobby Hermann Ferguson. Bobby Hermann Ferguson was involved in various organizations around Revolution Action Movement. He was involved in organization African American Unity for Malcolm X, Muslim Corporate Malcolm X. He also went to found the British Republic of Africa. He also went to find New African Liberation Front. He also was a political prisoner in war as well. I want to give a shout out to the old ancestors, and I also give a shout out to my mom, who's also an ancestor for born me, for birthing me and bringing me to this world to do the work that I'm doing now today. I want to shout out to all the individuals who educate themselves on all various levels and continue to do the work. If it's community development, if it's grassroots work, if it's work among political prisoners, if it's work organized, if it's community guard, if it's free and propaganda. No work is small for the struggle that we exist, that we exist in, the struggle that we're doing. We need all hands on deck in regards to everything that we're doing in regards to our liberation, our independence, our organizing, you know, and whether it's our propaganda, whether it's our economics, everybody on hand in regards to all these things. And whatever skills and effort you got, bring them to the fore, and don't be afraid to do certain things that because of what the status quo say. Anything that we do that is helping and induced to the people is considered a criminal in the minds of the system anyway. Anything considered revolutionary is considered a criminal. Anything considered socialist is considered a criminal. Anything considered self-educating the people is considered a criminal. Even the aspect of community, creating your own community garden is considered a criminal because they control our crops and control our food. But they keep all this stuff in mind when you do certain things. You know how to move. And I want to send a shout out to Nalibon Allah for pushing this platform for quite some years now. And I always bring in information from various perspectives. I have various guests and continue to do the work of Father Allah, which is teach the babies.
That's it. That is it. Man, I'm glad we was able to make this work. I know we've been trying to do this for a couple of years at least.
Yes, sir. It's been a couple of years, man. You know, the time is all
right
now when it's right, you know.
Right, right. So, for you, how did you get started in your movement, and then how did you transition from getting started in your movement to, you know, pushing a propaganda campaign, you know, such as George Jackson University Radio?
Well, you know what I'm saying? My real inspiration came from various sources, right? So I've always been an individual that wanted to learn things. My first process of learning began with my grandmother. When I was 5 years old, you know what I'm saying? She thought she had probably like 10,000 or 12,000 books or so, or probably more than that. She had various books on anything that you basically want. You know, at that time, I actually didn't know about affiliation. I didn't know that she was involved in the Eastern Stars and the other organization at that particular time. But I used to see different people come over. I didn't know there were Masons and other aspects. That really sparked my learning. That really sparked my learning for real because I was basically, at a young age, I was a bibliophile. I used to like test the books and feel them and smell them and all that good stuff, right? You know, just all kind of upstairs of the book. You know, even though I can't read or understand, I touch them and open the page and look at certain things in them, right? But in regards to that, I still rebellious as a young man. I grew up and still rebellious and, you know, still wanted to be in the streets and engage in other activities, right? Criminal acts led me to juvenile and food camp and prison, other aspects. So upon incarcerated, I opened the Quran up. That's the first line I opened up. Well, I didn't have no intention of being a Muslim, learning anything about Islam. My whole intention was when I opened it up, I was looking at certain things. They were talking about Egypt. And they started talking about Egypt in the footnotes. And it said a pharaoh mean king of the state. Then it gave analysis of the state, represents great state ability. And the pharaoh is great state ability to the people. And that actually opened my eye up. And then after looking at that, analyzing that, looking at certain things in my mind, I read Autobiography of Malcolm X, and that started my journey. Autobiography of Malcolm X started my journey. And then when I was reading that, I wanted to read everything that he read. So I had an insatiable hunger to read all the books I can read, learn everything I can learn. But yeah, on the same token, I was all aware of the prison system because my uncles and a lot of my relatives had me doing time in the 80s, you know, you understand in the 80s and everything. So I already knew about the system. But once I became a part of the system myself, I started experiencing the real inhumane conditions and the mental slavery, the aspect you treated like you shot to a slave, you cut out your hair off, and you know, your property, their particular institution, things of that nature. So I actually got involved. I started, you know, writing petitions and doing legal work and going to law library and other aspects. So I learned to educate myself. And that basically where my journey begun. You know what I'm saying? When I came into society, I kept knowledge going. I kept being productive. And, you know, I joined various collectives. And eventually, the collective we joined, we came all came together. And we started Georgia University Radio. You know what I'm saying? We started Georgia University Radio. But Georgia University Radio is on the extension of Georgia University. We're founded in the predecessor in California. By people like Abdul Lugabashikir, you know what I'm saying, the elder former Calbone, you know what I'm saying, Elder Hodar, and other individuals, and also by Dr. Donna Evans and Dr. Sharif Ali, who returned to the essence. Those individuals started pushing the line in regards to transferring the criminal mentality to the revolution mentality, which is an ongoing process. And according to the FBI documentation, there was a program created in 1962 called the COUNT program, which stands for Countering Anti-Socialism Modification Project. And it was geared toward attacking all the righteous moves in prison to stop any kind of productivity, any kind of revolutionary struggle in prison. And so this started attacking in prison. It wasn't until the late 60s until where COINTELPRO started attacking the movement on the streets. A lot of people who was involved in moving street didn't really get to understand no COINTELPRO until the 70s. You know, really know exactly what it was, what exactly was going on. So the work is an aspect that it contained the legacy of our ancestors, contained the legacy of our current freedom fighters who were behind enemy lines. Now, such as Sundar Kohli, who actually just denied parole recently. The brother, 82 years old. About 14 more years, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, see the thing. When the brother, you were living there 14 more years. You know what I'm saying? People like Bob Matula Shakur, you know what I'm saying? Who's also a political prisoner, a prisoner of war, you know, in the Iron House of Oppression, who's been diagnosed with cancer. Russell Moon Schultz, who's been diagnosed with cancer. Eman Jamil Alamin, who's been diagnosed with cancer. All these are political prisoners who are fighting the struggle. They're prisoner of war to get the racist system to neutralize and stop anything that's considered productive. Eman Jamil built a community in the West Central Line. You know, the community that pushed out drugs, that pushed out crime, that pushed out poverty. You know what I'm saying? Communities that were real inducing for the people needs. Dr. Matula was a doctor, an acupuncturist. And he uses skills to heal people, you know what I'm saying, who had drug addiction, other aspects. These are productive people, productive individuals, right? But you're on the same token, anything that is not approved by the system is considered criminal. Therefore, anything that any kind of organization, entity, or collective you belong to, considered a criminal organization or a serious threat group or a gang or anything of that nature, is considered certain things. Okay, even when you look at certain documentations, religion organizations, the Nation of Islam, more science, Nation of the Earth, those are considered a specific threat group. They're considered gangs as well. They're considered threats to society due to the fact that they give individuals knowledge of self, which is not right. But on the same token, we got to understand how the system operates. You know what I'm saying? This whole thing is used as a commodity to benefit us as human capital. That's the way it operates. We're in a system of capitalism or imperialism at the same time. Also, it's a fascist system because the police state that we live in. Yeah, that's basically how I got started, you know what I'm saying, in my work. You know what I'm saying? That's basically how I got started in my work. And, you know, I continued to push it on. And Georgia University Radio, we've been on since 2014. You know, we interviewed different people from political prisoner, prisoner of war, community activists, professors, scholars, scientists, even interviewed Nala Born Alone before, you know, no other individuals. So we got different people on there that like to share their story. I was thinking control the propaganda as much as possible. Because we realize and know that the enemy control the propaganda. So everything on the internet, the cell phone, the TV, the movies, it's controlled by the enemy. So anytime we get a chance, we got to manipulate and control the narrative so they can see people in our design. If you call it citizens, you African, pan African, Moore, you know what I'm saying, Asiatic, whatever you consider yourself, you know what I'm saying, Hebrew. You want people to see things in the sense of the melanated nature, and you to understand our story, you to understand our move, you to understand our struggle, you to understand the love that we have, the devotion that we have for the things that we do. That's why we push it. When we don't, we push it. To get people divorced, to get people a voice, so they be able to voice their thoughts, they be able to speak out, and get people to see and realize what their exact condition is actually going. You got to go on to respect the condition behind enemy line, which is inhumane all over the world. So everybody just live about me, you know.
Well, that's definitely on point. And I'm glad for your platform because you are representing and actually pushing what we all should be pushing. These are all our loved ones, you know, behind enemy lines. And as a collective of African people, we have a duty and responsibility to Africans, whoever they are. See what I'm saying? So y'all pushing the line in the way that I admired over the years, you know, in, you know, contact and working in tandem in regards to our brothers and sisters, you know, on the other side of the wall and keeping that line strong and also working with their family. So, you know, I'm Jonathan Jackson to the core in my soul, in my spirit. And y'all had, you know, Jonathan Jackson's son on during Black August. I believe it was this year or it was last year.
We actually had Manon. He's supposed to have been on, but
okay.
He is supposed to been on, but he ain't never make it on there. So, you know, he's supposed to been on.
So
he's supposed to been on.
Would have been like working with, you know, some of the families. I know y'all had, you know, Baba Sanyuka on. It would have been like, you know, communicating with families and, you know, some of the brothers and sisters over the years, and you know, kind of paint that picture, you know, of working with some of those folks y'all done had on the platform.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. You know, you got to continue legacy, man. When certain legacy have been established, like the Panther legacy. You know, we know a lot of the hell the Panthers in the 70s and 80s, you know, and a lot of them are old time history, right? So yeah, the Panther Cub, they're considered custodians of their legacy, and the Panther Cub got to push it forward, and their children and grandchildren, and you know, they got to push it, they pull forward the legacy of what was going on. Especially in regards to, you know what I'm saying, the program that they were pushing in regards to getting people food, free medical clinics, and, you know, community organizing, and, you know what I'm saying, building schools and other aspects that are going to be beneficial to the people as a whole, you know what I'm saying, the services. You know, we need services. You know, we need institutions. We need certain things to help us benefit from a greater level. You're like right now at Kwanzaa, you know. One thing I realized that there's a lot of people that push Kwanzaa to what they're doing during the time of Kwanzaa, but you know, what about those principles of the rest of the year? You know what I'm saying? What about them principles? What about Coach Shakali the rest of the year? What about Ujamaa the rest of the year? You know what I'm saying? What about Nia the rest of the year? What about those purposes, those principles the rest of the year in regards to your individual life, in regards to individuality, in regards to your collective work or your collective that you're a part of? What about those principles then? You know, it is interesting, you know, interesting, you know, because we live in the age of social media, and social media tends to dictate the ways of actually a lot of individuals. And we know that social media is social engineered by the oppressor. To get you to think what they want you to think, to get you to eat what they want you to eat, to get you to believe what they want you to believe. And they do all this to control you, to manipulate you, to make you mental slaves. It's like Dr. Bob Wright said, this is the mental side. You know, destroying the mind. And so when the individual gains knowledge of himself or herself, they actually understand that we actually in the struggle. We're in the struggle for our life. For real. You know what I'm saying? This is how it's going down. But, you know, it's certain things that we don't realize in regard to social media. Social media is the biggest platform in which the FBI, CIA, the IRS, National Security Association, Homeland Security, and all the other gang forces, because they're a gang, they're the real gang. A lot of these gang forces created by the government use to attack our people. The youth to attack their people. And then one example I know for sure, because my brother is currently in the field right now. You know what I'm saying? And his case got built up from social media. And he's currently in the field right now. You know, so that I know this for a fact how it's going down. You know, and the pigs even said themselves in books like the Chicago Game Commission. They said themselves that which was Chicago Game Commission, their whole thing is they investigate all the street owners in Chicago from the GD, from the Vice Up, from the Stone, from the Land King, from the Big Cobras, and so forth, right? But you know what I'm saying? The Chicago Grand Commission consists of very other entities like the FBI, the Gang Task Force, and other individuals that provide information and try to neutralize certain aspects, because they know, these people know that a lot of these street organizations, have been pushing certain principles that the rebellion struggle pushing at the same time. And also, a lot of the early formations of the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense, were recruiting from street organizations, such as the ones in New York, such as the ones in L.A., such as the ones in Chicago, and other places. They were recruiting from the street, and transfunding, and that was the process of transferring these criminals out to the revolution mentality. Because, we had been conditioned to be criminals. We are conditioned to feel like Ralph Ellison Slavery, the Invisible Man, that we have a purpose in life. We have been feeling, we have been created and molded to think that way. We go to school in the American academic system, they don't tell nothing about our people, nothing about our culture, nothing about our heritage. They don't tell you how to buy no land, they don't tell you how to obtain no land, they don't tell you how to create no business, they don't tell you how to create no bank account, they don't tell you how to save, they don't tell you how to create a community, they don't tell you nothing that's going to be beneficial of. All they teach us, go to school, go to the education system, graduate, get your job, work for the people, work for the same people that you've been learning about in these books, the Greeks and the Romans and the Italian Mycenaeans, you work for them same people, but not do anything for yourself, not be self-determined. No, it's interesting, though, brother, just looking at certain things, man, and looking at it and realizing the experience as well is interesting on a lot of levels, man. And the work must be done, man, if you choose to. If an individual choose to, man, okay, commitment has various levels to it. Everybody's not committed the same way. Everybody's not committed on the same level, and everybody's not committed for the same reason. There's been a lot of misunderstanding over the years in regards to who's a part of what, due to the fact that people associate with each other. That doesn't mean that certain people are part of certain collectives just because they associate. And that actually had to get out like that on a lot of levels. But when it comes down to it, we got to be distinguished in regard to what are you fighting for, what are you doing, and what's the reason behind it. And that's the only way unity is going to come about. You know what I'm saying? When you're sure about certain things. I feel like you just didn't do things just because other individuals are doing it, or just because your peers doing it, just because people in your neighborhood do it. Do it because you want to do it. You know? And then even when you're a part of the collective, you shouldn't push another individual to do certain things what they're not willing to do, unless they're willing to do it. You know, so I learned a long time ago that the best thing to do is let an individual do what they're willing to do. Because when you do that, that person can be themselves. Period. Yeah, I want to keep on rambling on about it. I got a lot of built up in me, all the time.
You know, this therapy for us all. You understand what I'm saying? Especially on today, a day like today, dealing, with our ancestors, with our elders, dealing with that level of Kimba, that creativity. You see what I'm saying? So that sparks a divine intelligence that we make it, born and plain to the world. So, what about your spiritual journey? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
On my spiritual journey? Well, yes. In regard to my spiritual journey, I keep that separate from, like Malcolm X. He keep it separate from the politics. You know, so I'm a New African revolutionary nationalist, so I believe in New African nationalism. I'm being revolutionary nationalist, but on the same token, spirituality is a personal journey that everybody has, right? I've been involved in various things until now. Up until now, I've been involved in Next guys, I've been involved in Morris Township of America. I'm involved in the Hair Creating Society. I'm involved in the City Yoga Foundation. I'm involved in, you know what I'm saying, the Zen Buddhism, the Zen Buddha Collective, the Tibetan Buddhism, and Theosophical side, and various other aspects, right? But the more I basically read all of the religious books from all the different sects, from the Egyptian Book of the Dead to the Tibet, to the Celtic Book of the Dead, to the Necronomicon, to the Torah, to the Bhagavad Gita, to the Dhammapada, you know what I'm saying, to the I Ching, to the Analects, you know, so forth and so on. I read all these various things. And what I kind of realized that the deeper you get into our story, I'm not going to say history, because it's history, we're going to get the deeper you get into our story, we realize that there was no certain terms of more, there wasn't certain terms of law, there wasn't no certain terms of Jehovah, there wasn't certain terms of God, it wasn't certain terms of Bible, the Quran, Torah. The deeper you get, you see that we were people that were in tune to nature. We were people that were in tune to the elements. We people that were in tune to the land. You know, so a lot of my spirituality founded around our ancestors in regards to we all had immediate ancestors within our family that we communicate with, if we so choose to. You know what I'm saying? We all have immediate people in our family that we can say supplication to, if we choose to. You know what I'm saying? We all have immediate people in our family that we can tap into their thoughts and energy through meditation, other aspects, and get an understanding. We all can go through and tap into their inner child, right? And also that I realize that in modern day religion, as well as spirituality, they founded upon the culture, the ideas, and system, and what the people turn on in the continent of Africa right now, which when you want to look at the aspects of Yoruba, and Hausa, and Voodoon, and Palo Nyamba, you know, and Santeria, you know, and all those aspects are founded on a lot of them founded on our African spiritual system. You know what I'm saying? To deal with ourselves, to deal with yourself, deal with self-realization, deal with the higher aspects of the mind, the higher aspects of the consciousness, right? So it's a decision on the individual or what he or she wants to do in regards to that. I'm not saying that whatever you're doing is wrong, because whatever works for you, works for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to be respect. You got to respect people in regard to their beliefs. You got to respect people about beliefs. You know, that wasn't the thing that we've been engaged into like the last 10 or 15 years. People constantly debating about certain things, right? And a lot of things they're debating about, it actually histories, it actually stories that predate all that stuff that they're debating about. You know, to be honest, you know, we don't come to time now that European Eurocentric mentality was real strong, and it still is, due to the fact that the white supremacists is a system that they've been controlling and dictating each other. But now when you look at certain things, people be talking about the conscious community, right? And sometimes I wonder, in my mind, right, who's actually dictating a lot of stuff in the conscious community, because there's not a lot of productivity in regards to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I first became aware, you know what I'm saying, in the 90s, when we said conscious, it meant something totally different than what it means right now. It means something totally different. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same value. It doesn't have the same standpoint. It doesn't have the same strength on it. Now when you're saying conscious, people be saying, oh, yeah, you're a hotel, bro. Or you did, you know. It doesn't have no meaning to it now, because it's like now when you say you conscious, it means that no thing that you gain information, you might be wanting to debate with somebody, you might manipulate people, you really a fraud. You know, you're not sincere. You're not sincere about things, right? A lot of things don't change now. You know, it just in regards to, like you said, like I was saying earlier, the propaganda. You know, a lot of times in our life that in our collecting, our different organizations, different entities and different nations and things like that. We're not pushing enough information, not pushing enough literature in regards to reaching the people. And that wasn't the reason we losing the war. We lost in the propaganda war, because we're not pushing the propagation of the tool. Not pushing that tool, so to speak. When you look around, you see people like Jehovah Witness don't care what you are. They knock on your door. They don't care about none of that. They don't care. They don't want to hear nothing. They knock on your door, irregardless. They knock on your door. No, they're knocking it up, promoting information. They don't care who you are. You can be a Muslim, you can be an atheist, you can be a Sunni. You know what I'm saying? You can be Wiccan, you can be Voodoo, you can be in Europe or hospital, whatever. They're knocking on your door. They're gonna see what you're talking about. You know? They pushing that propaganda, man. And those are some of the things we need to be doing. Pushing that propaganda, man. Putting out there as much as possible, because the simple fact is that even though we had the internet and we had an abundant supply of knowledge, our people just don't know a lot of things. And we think they know, but they don't. But because the enemy is controlling the propaganda to make sense, that they're telling them things what they need to know. You know what I'm saying? People are more concerned about rappers and, you know what I'm saying, rappers and actors and actresses than they are about their own health. Then they are about their own household. Then they are about their own life. They're more concerned about those individuals. You know, and people are just following these people like it's a trend, though. It's a trend. There's a trend to say that you're conscious, too. What is a trend? I'm in the conscious community. You know what I'm saying? You know, people be making these videos. Everybody saying family. You know what I'm saying? I understand the aspect of family. You know, but you look at the real list, right? Look at the real list, you know what I'm saying? In order to have family, you got to unite with yourself. You know, you got to unite with your higher self and lower self, and unite with your individual mind, which is your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your mind. That's a family right there within itself. You got to unite with that aspect first. You know, if you ain't united with yourself, had knowledge of yourself, or actually know that self, the aspect of saying that people are family or saying that you love anybody, know yourself, you got to start with the journey yourself within. And that's the spiritual journey that you were talking about. Start within yourself. That's the spirituality right there, you know. Yeah, that's when it starts at, within yourself, man. Your own self-realization. Your own God-realization. You know, your own self-actualization. Your own self-empowerment. Your own self-education. Your own self-inquiry. Where you refer to it as, you know, they got different, a lot of have mean the same thing from different perspectives. It's all an individual, you know. It's their decision. It's our decision what we do, because realistically, in our mind, we create our own universe from our own thoughts and actions. A lot of times we think that things are coincidence. They're not coincidental. Those are things we put in our mind. We create those. They're just incident, so to speak. They're just experience. They become spirit and incident. A lot because mind to take mind, especially in regards to universal consciousness, a lot of times people think about the same exact thing in different places of the world. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see certain things, you know, I hear certain things, people saying the same thought because knowledge is infinite. Knowledge is infinite, you know. The mind is infinite, you know what I'm saying? The information is infinite. So a lot of times, a lot of things be entertained. Like they say in the Bible, there's nothing new up under the sun, which really makes a lot of sense because that's an ancient adage that been going on before the even the Bible created. You know what I'm saying? It's been going on in our ancient African cultures. Our ancient tribes and ancient systems, you know, we've been doing certain things. We realize certain things from a different perspective. A lot of things they did. Now, then, the system can't even figure out now. The people can't figure out now how they build the great pyramids of Giza. You know what I'm saying? The people can't figure out how these Dogon people, Mali, were able to see the stars in a telescope. You know, so they can't figure this stuff out. It's complex to them. They cannot figure none of this stuff out. They can't figure out how these people were able to obtain all the knowledge and all the information. They can't figure that stuff out, you know. They're trying to, you know, so these people want to dissect our brain, you know what I'm saying? These people want to steal our genes and steal our chromosomes and everything to try to figure out things about us, to even to make themselves stronger. You know, you'd be thinking a lot of these people come up missing just a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. Not a coincidence, you know what I'm saying? The European race itself, when you think about it realistically, them people are not populating like that. You know what I'm saying? They're actually the smaller minority on the planet Earth. But due to the politics and manipulation, they get everybody else thinking that they're the minority. Yeah, everybody else is a minority due to the fact that we don't have the power. We don't have the political power, economic power. That's all really the minority. But other than that, in a physical aspect, you know what I'm saying? In a human capital aspect, we have all the human capital. We all have all the bodies, right? We're the majority. But yet, you know what I'm saying? The system oppresses us and makes us feel the same way and intimidates us. A lot of the majority of our people are fearful of the system. You know, they're fearful of it. You know what I'm saying? They're not willing to stand up. They're not willing to even stand up against people they close to, you know what I'm saying? They've been chopping them off and, you know what I'm saying, down trying to belittle them. You know, you got to stand up to them people first. Really, got, but first you got to stand up to yourself, which is your ego, which is your character and everything. You got to stand up to your ego and tell your ego, like, look, man, look, right, look, check this out. Young lady, check this out, little bro. You know, I'm the conscience, you know what I'm saying? I'm controlled. I'm running this situation, you know what I'm saying? I'm running this, you know, because the mind and the ego going to tend to do what I want to do anyway, especially when it comes to character and wanting to be something, and which is not. They're going to do that. Yeah, bro, but, you know, hey, man, it's a never-ending struggle, man. It's a never-ending struggle, man, you know. It's never-ending struggle, you know what I'm saying? That buried to my journey, man. You know, I don't really consider myself to be a part of no kind of type of spirituality or no type of religious sect or anything like that, right? But I do know and realize that I have an essence, man. I have an essence, man, you know. I have an essence, you know what I'm saying? Where do people want to refer to that? You want to say Atman, you want to say, you know what I'm saying, the car, you want to say at the bar, where you want to refer to it as, right? I know I do have that. And I do have a seat of intelligence. My intelligence doesn't come from my body. You know what I'm saying? My intelligence doesn't come from my brain, you know? So I have my own perspective about certain things. You know, those are things I don't really get into that with a lot of people. Because I know that's a personal thing. And a lot of times, people, when you get into those particular aspects, man, people debate, you know what I'm saying, get angry with you, you know what I'm saying, want to hurt you about certain beliefs and things like that because they believe in it wholeheartedly. And I believe what I believe wholeheartedly, so I feel the same way they feel then. I'm not going to let you hurt me because you feel the same way about your spirituality or religion. No, we're not going to do that, you know.
Right.
But I do, you know what I'm saying, believe what I believe and stand on what I stand on, you know. And deal what I deal with. That's period. But I also respect everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna be bashing all these people just because they believe certain things. Yeah, I will. You know what I'm saying? My thing is always to show them, to give them information, to inform people about certain things. And then after I do that, then you make your own decision what you want to do. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's out of my hand now. I done did my duty to spread the information. I'm spreading my duty, you know what I'm saying, to inform you, you know what I'm saying, to educate you. If it's through literature, if it's through PDFs, if it's through books, you know what I'm saying, if it's through videos or whatever, I don't did my duty. Because I learned once an individual obtains certain forms of knowledge, it's your duty to pass it on. It's your duty. You're obligated then. And the more information you gain, the harder your struggle becomes because it's a struggle to maintain your sanity without the information that you have. That's a struggle. You know? And that's basically what's going on with all that, man. You know, that's my thoughts to that question, man. And I hope I answered to the best of your understanding, man. I hope I answered to the best of your feeling, so to speak. It came to the best of my understanding, man.
Hey. Your journey is your journey. You know, I asked about it, so, you know what I'm saying, you shared it with me. So, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it is collectively we have a journey, and then individually we have our own journey. You see what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
That's how it is. And so let's shift gears and speak about your involvement with these organizations that you have here. How did you get involved with the organizations? You know, if you could share, you know, some of your connection in regards to these organizations and how important is organization for our people.
Okay. Well, you know, first I'm gonna start out with a new African independent movement. Okay. You know, new African independent movement was created in 1958, right? In Detroit, Michigan. In a 3-day black convention, you know what I'm saying, in regards to like over 500 black delegates from different organizations, from RAM, which is the Rebel Action Movement for SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee for University of New York Improvement Association, our community league, from the Black Power Officer of Defense, from the US Movement, from the European Kingdom, United States, which is the King out of Fume, which created the Oldtonia African Village in South Carolina, to other individuals and other collectors who may be socialist comments or, you know, say other acts, but they came together and created this particular government known as the Burisma government, and they turned us a new African. Because they were like, you know, we're not the original African due to the fact that this is the fact that we've been mixed with other things, and a lot of our ancestors have been taken in chains and brought to America, you know, as slaves. So a lot of our culture are unknown to us, but but a lot of our people have been mixed with a lot of these tribal aspects from the Fulani, from the Wula, from the Mandingo, and now we no longer those African people that we once were. We are a new type of people. We're a new type of new African now. We're a new type of African people in America, in the empire now. And we still have that same resisted within us that our people had during slavery. A lot of them were jumping out boats, and, you know what I'm saying, taking over ships in the Amistad, and, you know, and a lot of the slave boats that occurred from Denmark Beach to Gabriel Prosser, Charles Delaunay, as other individuals that pushed the line, you know. So we're a new African people, you know, and I actually got involved with that. I first got involved with that, you know, my first understanding came about that was in, my first understanding I came across it was in 2001, right? And 2001 and 2002, right? You know what I'm saying? I actually read this, actually getting a lot of material in from the collective called the South Shore ABC Zion District, you know what I'm saying, out of Homewood, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And it was an anarchist public. It's an anarchist organization. What they do, they send signs and material into the prison system. They ought to educate your mind, right? And they had a lot of material from a lot of political prisoners, such as Bobby Sundata Coley, Bob Russell Room Schultz, and other individuals. You know what I'm saying? And I ran across the information that from the brother Abdul Lubar Shakir, which is one of the founders of Georgia University. I ran across the pamphlet from him, you know what I'm saying? And that actually was the first time that I seen the term New African. Like, I'm a New African, New African this and this. I'm like, man, you know, so I just started, you know what I'm saying, looking at some things and gaining a perspective of it, you know, and then years later, I eventually became a worker and a member of Georgia University. You know what I'm saying? I became part of the collective years later. But that was actually my initial involvement. You know, and then I got involved with the provisional government. You know what I'm saying? Holding different seats, different aspects, such as formerly the Minister of Information, formerly the Minister, Deputy Minister of Youth, and, you know, work with the Minister of Justice, and, you know what I'm saying? They're doing work with the Legionnaires and other aspects, right? I got involved with certain things because that's actually what I believe in. And I still believe in, you know. And I still believe in the foundation because it's strong. It's a strong foundation. Same strong foundation. A lot of people that we talk about was a part of, such as Tupac Shakur. He was a New African. Choka Lumumba, you know. Dr. John Henry Clark was a New African. Dr. Bar Shango, you know. There's a lot of people that was involved with it. Dr. Khaled Muhammad was involved in the African independent movement. You know, a lot of people was involved with it, you know. And still are involved with it to this day. They have been a political prisoner of war. You know, it's a strong movement. And it's always been strong. Even the aspect in the 60s, in the late 60s through the early 70s in New York, you had a lot of the Black Panthers who had joint ministry with the Republic of Africa. So the New Africans and the Panthers were doing a lot of joint ministry, got a lot of joint work in regards to defense, information, education, all that. They're doing a lot of work together collectively. And a lot of them became conscious citizens at that particular time. You know, a lot of them were conscious citizens. Even when you go back to the old, the Black Panthers of Defense, from initial origin, Black Panther Party originated out of Harlem in August of 1966, right? A lot of them people who helped push that years later became founders of the Burisma Republic of Africa, the ones that pushed that. And also inspired them. It also inspired individuals like Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, started Black Panther Party for self-defense, which was a distinction. Both men started the same year. a Black Folk Self-Defense in October 66, a Black Panther Party in August 1966. Therefore, you had 250 reunions. 250 reunions, you had one reunion in New York, the 50th anniversary, and one reunion in Oakland, the 50th anniversary, because there were two different entities. You know, the first one didn't exist. The first one didn't exist longer than the second one. The second one continued to push on. And eventually, the second one just actually, you know, in regard to, you know what I'm saying, spinning out literature information, they actually just dropped, turned to the media. Like, we got the Black Panther Party. Because they would have sold one at that particular time because the Black Panther Party of New York, out of Harlem, wasn't existing anymore in regard to the work. But you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people who were doing, who created, who were doing that work, the Black Panther Party of New York, they continued to work in other organizations, such as the Republic of Africa, such as the African People Party, you know, the other collectives. They were doing that same work up on a different name, you know, and pushing the line. And so the work continued on. And that's what we're doing right now. Right now, we continue to work right now that people who push propaganda continue, you know what I'm saying? Especially people doing information. We continue to work right now because we informing people. We educating them. We're doing the work right now on a different platform because during those times, they didn't have access to no internet, no blog, no radio, anything like that. You know what I'm saying? The thing was that they were out there with the people. They were out there doing graduate. They were out there knocking on doors. They were out there, you know what I'm saying, prophesizing and speaking and philosophizing on the street corner. They were out there with the people, you know. They were out there at parks. You know what I'm saying? They were out there at games, and you know what I'm saying, at sport, football, baseball, and basketball. They were out there at different places propagating information. But what we're doing right now, we're propagating information on the internet, online. But that still didn't take away, you know what I'm saying, that we still can go into the same community that they were in. You know, we can go into the same community still work because going to community still. You see, need to be done. And still, you know, and people are not, we're not doing it enough because the thing is that due to the social engineering or social media, the majority think that they can do everything on the internet, which is not how things go, especially when it can be infiltrated, confiscated, you know what I'm saying, and agitated, you know, and manipulated. Well, if you're doing things in the community, you still can be able to play out in the community, but you have a better chance in the community of getting your message across than you're putting things online. You have a better chance, you know what I'm saying? You have a better reach because you're hands-on with the people. Because there's a lot of people that don't even know the internet. There's a lot of people on the internet, so you're going to better understand to deal with the people on the base, you know what I'm saying? You can understand what they actually eat, what they're actually drinking, how they actually live in the community. So by doing that, you actually get a better understanding of how you can help them and assist them in their social issues, because we're social scientists. By social science, we can be in a solution to the people and get the people to understand that everybody is solutionary if they so choose to be. And everybody, all like the Bible says, we can say we are all liberated. We can liberate ourselves as individuals. And that's when it all started. The revolution started within yourself and the individual. Revolution basically means change. You make the decision you want to change, then when it starts. And then when the struggle really get real in your life, because that change is not so simple or easy to do. It's actually hard. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. You can be doing it for 30 or 40 years, and still, it's going to get harder every year. It get harder every day. Because it's a struggle within your own mind to maintain your sanity and stay afloat and do things that you consider to be right, and with the system, your majority around you doesn't feel to be right. So it's like a manipulation of morals in your own mind. Like society telling you this is wrong, but we know this is right. Yeah. That's all I got to say on that, brother.
Okay. So who are some of the people y'all got coming up, or some of the people you looking to work with and have on, you know, on the platform here in the near future?
Oh, man, it's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? We're looking forward, you know what I'm saying? But right now, we haven't reached out to nobody like that, you know what I'm saying? We getting things together for next year. we plan organize another thing such as Black August. Cause we actually got a event in Black August. We got a venue for it already. They're gonna take place in August the 1st in Baltimore, Maryland, right? And we really want to do a second day as well. Had the whole weekend, but we know a lot of organizers around that. And Black August is very significant due to the fact that it represents our prison culture and our oppressed culture, the oppressed people behind lines. But and then before I even go into more about that, I'm gonna get you to understand, you know, we have like the term political prison. Okay. You got different class of political prisoners. At that. Okay. A person be a political prisoner due to the fact that he came from the streets from an organization that they consider anti government, or they consider progressive. You know? And they can't due to the politics that they follow, if we revolutionary nationalism and revolutionary black social revolutionary scientific socialism or whatever, you know, so due to the politics that they follow, they became a political prisoner. Now, you got another aspect that you have prisoners of war, which is another form of political prison. That means that you actually were involved with a political organization or politics, and you wage armed struggle to defend your particular interest between your particular politics. Your armed struggle involved against the pig or the oppressor. And then you also have the politicized political prisoner, with the people who became political prisoners in the inside by joining a certain organization or engaging in certain events, such as Conrad George Jackson, who became a political prisoner, such as Rushel McGee. You know, those people became political prisoners. Rushel McGee, right now to this day, is 80 years old, and his brother had been incarcerated since 1963. No, and that's 52 years, you know, and they don't want to let the brother come home. The brother's 80 years old, like Sundar Dakota, 82 years old, you know. These brothers are old, and they still want to free these brothers. Over started happening, you know what I'm saying, 40 and 50 years ago. You know what I'm saying? The system never forget. That's the way they could be holding the conditioner, right? But Black August tradition started in the prison in California, you know what I'm saying, for different events from the assassinated Conrad George Jackson, you know, which is August 21st, 1971. Assassinated Johnny Jackson. It was August 7th, 1970. Assassinated W. Noller. You know what I'm saying? February 3rd, 1969. Assassinated, the systematic medical assassination of Tara Regard, August 1st, 1978. And for a close association with Conrad Elder Susan Graham, they pushed Black August in August 1979. And Black August was geared toward the commemoration or the Black August martyrs, you know, some of the images of their name, commemoration of them, to educate the people and the mass about different things that happened in August that you don't really talk about, such as the 1619, you know what I'm saying, the initiating of slaves coming to Jamestown, Virginia in August, you know, the rebellion Nat Turner happened in August. You know, the born day of Marcus Garvey, you know, in August. The commemoration of the government, the provision government of the UNIA in August. Or the University of the commemoration of the African flag, University of the Green Flag in August. So the Watts Rebellion that happened in August. You know, it's just so many different things. Even the RNL-11, it is different things, you know what I'm saying? The Moore family, you know, different things happened in August that people don't talk about. You know, a lot of that stuff may commemorate during Black August. But it all started, you know what I'm saying? It actually became a culture. Black August was a culture. Because a lot of the principles and the ideas, which is resistance, which we've been resistant since we've been here. So, you know, when you look at a culture aspect, our culture is resistant because we've been resistant since we've been over here, right? We've been resistant since we've been in here. So through slave revolts, through establishing our own newspapers, through establishing our own cities and towns and communities, through establishing our own guerrilla forces, you know, we were resisting in the very ways that we've been here. Now, even on up to the early 1900s, where you had the Canaanite Temple, known as the Morris Sinai Temple, the African Blood Brotherhood, University Negro Improvement Association, you know, even out a lot of them, even Father Divine, Daddy Gray, Father Allah, you know, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, different movements, man. You know, we've been resisting different ways. We sometimes we use religion to resist. Sometimes we use science to resist. You know, we're resisting in different ways. And the system doesn't like that because you look at it, you know what I'm saying, you look at how they operate, all the individuals I named, you know what I'm saying, they got them FBI files. They got them in the vault. They got Nate Fuselam in the vault. They got the 5% in the vault. More scientists in the vault. They got Bloodhood Brotherhood in the vault. UNIA in the vault. They got all the people in the vault. They even got rappers and dancers. They even got Tupac and Bob Marley, you know, John Coltrane. They got all the individuals in the vault, man, because we also have resistance through music as well. You know, so they know that certain music, certain vibrations are a certain signal to us for surrendering, you know what I'm saying? Certain symbols for to create war, certain symbols that send signals that we're in distress. You know, those are symbols for us, man. So they don't want their music and vibrations for us to hear that as well, because that's a form of resistance also. They know that. Even though traditions of music have been inaugurated, you know what I'm saying, in the Zoroastrian, the a lot of the Baptist and Methodist churches, you know what I'm saying, from the dance and from the playing, the harmonica and the cymbals and then the drums, all of a sudden, those are our traditions, you know, those are the tradition that we use, you know what I'm saying, in the motherland. A lot of traditions still being used to this day. You know, those are some things that are going on, man, but Black August, you know what I'm saying, have been pushing those lines to those particular times, like since 79, man. And it wasn't a lie. There's a recent month ago, we actually lost our chairman of Black August, you know what I'm saying? Chairman Musa Mata. We lost him, you know what I'm saying? We lost the brother to old age, and you know, the brother returned to Essex in his sleep. You know, after being incarcerated 40 years, you know. You know, and that one thing also that the system does, the system keeps you in there all the time, all the years. Then you get out, you be sick. You know, or you be sick already, then they release you and know you're not going to live that long. They already knew that. Same thing happened with Baba Seku Kambui. Baba Seku Kambui did 47 years behind enemy lines. He was involved in very collective. He was involved from the Black Panther Party, from SNCC, from Republic of Africa. He was involved in various things, right, all throughout his time. And then, like, the brother was out, you know what I'm saying? He returned to Essex, you know what I'm saying? Shortly after he was released, you know? He was not held out long with us. So this is how things go in regards, you know what I'm saying? Especially, it seems to be a coincidence right now. Well, a lot of it, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A lot of the people, you know what I'm saying, that are political prisoners got cancer, and they also got hepatitis. People like Russell Norman Schultz, you know what I'm saying, got cancer. People like Jameer Alameen, E-Man Jameer, you know what I'm saying? Alameen has cancer. People like Dr. Matula Skir have cancer. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, man. You know, they're not a coincidence, period, man. You know, these people have been in certain conditions. These people involved with certain movements. And to me, you know what I'm saying? To me, that's why I think, man, I'm not going to be on a conspiracy type shit, man, conspiracy type thing. But in reality, man, we know that. You can put disease in certain types of food, certain types of needles. You can do this, man. You can put it in people's blood. We know this for a fact. It's not no doubt about that, you know. So you know what I'm saying? Just to be honest with you, just to be honest and be straight up with everything. We know that can be done. You know what I'm saying? We know that's a part of guerrilla warfare as well because that's a part of sabotage. You know, you can sabotage, you know what I'm saying? Like you can sabotage food and drink. You know what I'm saying? Sabotage medical things. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of guerrilla warfare. You know, if we know these types of things, and we're practicing these types of things, not a lot of liberation movement that consider to be anti-government, such as blah, and, you know what I'm saying? The chains are outright brown, Revolution Action Party, the Revolution Action Movement, and, you know, the Black Guard, and all the, a lot of movements that we consider, you know what I'm saying, to be anti-government. You know, they've been doing certain things, all the guerrilla warfare going on in regards to the Mau Maus in Kenya. You know, other collectives, right, been doing certain things, right? We know even the United States government been engaged in guerrilla warfare, you know what I'm saying, for quite some time by terrorizing everybody on the planet Earth, you know. The one, the greatest war they didn't win with the Vietnam War. Those Viet Cong guerrillas pushed them out, man. And those guerrilla going guerrillas were actually inspired by our Honorable Marcus Garvey. Because Ho Chi Minh, 1917, 1918, would come to New York and Harlem, listen to Marcus Garvey speaking and everything. You know what I'm saying? And he was inspired by their struggle. So in 1945, in Vietnam, in August now, he started the August Revolution. He started the August Revolution, you know. And once the August Revolution was over with, he established the term provisional government of Vietnam. He got a provisional government from, well, Mark Garvey said he was the president general of the provisional government, a University Negro Improvement Association, African Community League. Then later on in 68, you had a provisional government from the Africa. So all this stuff goes hand in hand in regards to the struggle. Inspired by Mark Garvey, even our African flag liberation was green, red, and black. You know what I'm saying? It was inspired by what Garvey did when he established the African flag liberation, which was red, black, and green, 1920. But note, one thing to note and understand about that, those red, black, and green are colors that are thousands of years old. You know what I'm saying? They're existing in Africa, in different civilizations, different tribes. Those colors are ancient colors. So you know what I'm saying? I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Garvey brought a public in the organization that actually created these colors. But Garvey did put into a flag to represent our people in America, our oppressed people in America. And the public Africa did create their flag to represent their oppressed people in America. But those colors are ancient. They go back to antiquity. To be historically correct about things. You know, and it's important to represent, to stand on black. I'll reduce the fact that a lot of our loved ones are incarcerated. I say a lot of our friends are incarcerated. A lot of people are incarcerated. Never to forget about these people, man. It's important to know, and realize the people who have fought for us, have fought for independence, have fought for us, our resistance, have fought for us, but have fought for us, have human rights, have fought for us not to be treated as human. So why would you turn your back on them? It's just like you turn your back on your mother and father. They turn your back on your mother who fought to put you into this world. She struggled and resisted for you to come into the world. That's basically the same equivalent to supporting and representing our political prisoner and prisoner of war. And support you behind enemy lines. Because, you know, like George Jackson himself, George Jackson educated behind enemy lines. You know what I'm saying? Malcolm X educated behind Bunchy Carter. You know, the list goes on and on. A lot of people educated behind enemy lines. You know, they were placed into this system of incarceration where they were forced to face and deal with it, actually to deal with themselves, and they were able to develop a greater understanding of who they actually were and develop an understanding of what their potential is and what they actually can do and what they can't do. You know what I'm saying? How their mental powers are limited, like you were saying, creativity. Malcolm X became very creative, you know, very, very creative. Jordan became very creative. Bunch Carter became very creative. Ed DeClee became very creative. The individual upon incarceration became very creative because they had time and space to develop their creativity, which is their Nia. You know, they had time to develop their true selves. They had time to know why they're resisting. You know, they had time to know why they're resisting to be them real selves and why they're living a criminal life. You know what I'm saying? They had time to realize that they could be a better addition to the community and the family and the nation by being positive, by being righteous, by being a freedom fighter, by being liberated, by being educated. And education was the key to all of that, which is knowledge, the foundation. They were the key to all of that. They started educating themselves, which changed a lot of things, period. Changed a lot of things, man. You know, and, also, Emmanuel Action Network. I got involved with that due to the fact that I always supported political prisoners. I always supported Emmanuel H. Rat Brown. I always supported the Panther, other individual, right? My mentor, a lot of my elders, you know what I'm saying, were actually involved with it. They were actually involved with it, you know. So I got on board. I got on board because I understood certain things, you know, and I actually, you know, we had a connection. We see all out of certain things. So I actually got involved because, you know what I'm saying, I feel that Eman Jameer's story should be put out there. You know what I'm saying? They even made a law about him. You know what I'm saying? The H. Brown law. They made a law about the brother. You know, they made it in the 60s, right? You know, they try to keep people closed and keep people mouth closed. They want people to talk and say certain things. You know, they could have a law about this brother. No, that's not significant, man. They're about to create a whole community, a whole society, man. In the West End here in Atlanta, man, it's still foreign to the day, man. And now in the West End, man, they're trying to gentrify it, man. They're trying to, you know what I'm saying? They don't want them to be the culture hub that it was. They don't want that to happen. Because Black Shrine of Madonna, because you got a place like the Black Shrine of Madonna that's there. You know what I'm saying? The West End. You know, it's in the same area where E-Man Jamia Maji was at. It still is, you know. It is on the same place where they had the Malcolm X Festival at, the park, what they call Malcolm X Park. It's in the same place where they had what you call the West End Mall. Then it's also not too far from the area they call the African Almanac Gridiron Museum, which is a black owned, new African owned establishment that was once a museum that is now being rented out to different organizations and different collectives with different events take place at. Now, they made different events take place there, different ones like the Malcolm X Grant movement, you have people organization, the LTP movement, you know. We're after the Aspionia, other people know they're doing the same things though. All that in the West End, man. Which is a cultural hub, man, for our people. You know what I'm saying? A place, you know what I'm saying, that E-Man Jamia, former owner H.R. Brown, put his foothold in regards, you know what I'm saying, stand up being righteous. Stand up being, you know what I'm saying, a real community activist. Respond from a young age as a teenager, man. Brother was doing it at the age of 15, 16, 17, man. He was an activist, man. The brother got involved in the struggle then. So those are people notable, you know what I'm saying, of fighting and commemorating for us. Because those people, you know what I'm saying, fighting and commemorating, they still fight. Even though they're behind enemy lines, people are still writing books. People are still spreading products, still writing pamphlets and information, still organized, still educating. But people still having an effect upon our people now, to this day. Even though in a different situation, man. So those are the people in the notable support of them, man. You know, they're good to support these people, man. You know, it's good to support these movements, man. You know, because realistically, if you're part of a movement, you're part of a movement on the street. And you're not supporting the political prisoner, man. You know, you're not supporting the movement because the movement is here to free all the oppressed people. Those are oppressed people, you know. To free all our oppressed people, man. So, you know what I'm saying? That goes hand in hand in what you're involved with. If you're involved in a pan-African movement, you're involved in a new African movement, you're involved in a black liberation movement, you know what I'm saying? If you're involved in those types of collectives, man, it's your responsibility to promote, you know what I'm saying, to release a political prisoner, to support them, and all that. You know what I'm saying? It's your responsibility, man. Responsibility to inform and educate people. It's your responsibility, you know what I'm saying, to teach people certain things. It's your responsibility, you know what I'm saying, to create programs, and survive programs, so to speak, to help the people. It's your responsibility because once you're a part of it, you don't make the commitment, man. The commitment is not just, you know what I'm saying, a fad. It's a commitment. It becomes a lifestyle now. It's a lifestyle for you. And you gotta be for real about that lifestyle, man. You can't be playing, man. Ain't playing, man. Cause it's people that don't die about these lifestyles, people that don't kill about these lifestyles, people that incarcerated about these lifestyles, people that have been exiled about these lifestyles. Such a mama style, she's still in the lifestyle, she was exiled, you know. She just wasn't an exile. It been many other exiles, you know what I'm saying? But she's the one that more notable now because she's a symbol of resistance. She was free from the iron house of oppression. She was released, you know what I'm saying? Our freedom fighters helped release her, man. You know what I'm saying? They had to release her, man. And then she received asylum. In one of our allied countries, which is Cuba. They've been allied to struggle since the 60s and the 50s, you know, which is a communist country. Well, it's socialist, you know, they've been advocating our struggle for quite some time. And even when you go back to 1960, when Malcolm X met Fidel Castro, you know, he was trying to get to understand then, like, yeah, you know, he's trying to build a relationship then. He's trying to call it the Brian and Black relationship. He's building that then. With the people. You know, he's better than that then. But before, you know what I'm saying, people like Robert Williams, you know what I'm saying, people like he's been doing other individuals, you know what I'm saying, went to Cuba. Now, Castro was already trying to build a foundation. He already saw what was going on. He already knew what time was, you know, in regards to those aspects, man. So those are just some of the ideas and the histories and the thoughts, man, that propel us, man, you know. But you got to study though. If you're not studying, you're not gonna know any of this stuff. you're not steady, you're not going to know what you need to do and why certain things feel and why certain things work. You're not going to know, you know what I'm saying, how to organize certain aspects if you're not studying, man. And studying not just involves just reading books and, you know what I'm saying, looking at videos and all that. Studying also involves, you know what I'm saying, going out there practicing certain things. You got to practice certain things, too. To see if your studies were sincere, see if your studies were real. You got to practice certain things. You got to put a theory into practice. That's without a doubt, man. That's a part of the study. Put a theory into practice, man. Being active. Being active, man, you know. But yeah, no, so I have a love and passion for the people, man. I got love and passion for myself. Cause, you know,
that's
man,
right.
It takes an individual to start to create the people.
Well, I'm glad I had a brother on that. See, that remind me that it ain't just me out here. You see what I'm saying? It's a few of us out here in solidarity. You see what I'm saying? The work is plenty and the laborers is few. You see what I'm saying? So we got to continue on and move it and pass it down to the next generation for them to continue on this work, you know, their duty and responsibility to keep on holding the line and pushing the line. So as we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts, any acknowledgments, anything you want to plug? Tell us about the show and also how we can support you and support, you know, some of these organizations that you're part of.
Well, you know, Georgia, we got a website, www.georgiauniversity.com, right? Again, it's www.georgiauniversity.com, you know. And if any people would like to donate books, pamphlets, paper, pens, envelopes, stamps, you know what I'm saying, they actually can contact me. They can contact me, man. They can contact me via Facebook. My Facebook name is Bumani Hero Jihad Shakir. At the time, contact me via email, BumaniShakir80@gmail.com. They can contact me through the avenue, or they also can contact me through you. You know what I'm saying? Send a message through you. You know what I'm saying? If need to be, in regards to they want to do that certain thing. Because our thing is to use education means transform the mentality of an individual behind enemy lines and turn up the whole pre-industrial slave company with your predecessor to the big institutional learning, period. That's what we want to do. That's one of our goals, man. You know what I'm saying? Not just be active in the prison, be active on the streets as well. Doing certain things like that. But see, like I say, you know, if we can't do everything alone, you know, they take a collective effort, like the brothers, not the brothers, a lot of people take a collective effort to do certain things, right? So you want to donate, like I said, donate books, material, or what are your time, or you know, or you even want to donate funds, man. You know what I'm saying? We got ways to do that too as well. You're going to do that. You know, you want to donate your time, you're going to get involved and active. You also in contact, you want to get involved. You have certain skills, or you want to work with prisoners, or you want to teach class, or you want to create a curriculum. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you want to do, you can contact me on the way to that too as well, because we all need people who are willing to work and do certain things. We all would need that. That's something that's always needed, right? You know, that's something that's always needed. You know what I'm saying? You want to learn how to, establish a GDAU in your community. You know, reach out to them. You want to learn how to, you know what I'm saying, create a black organized community in your community. You know what I'm saying? Or learn how to base, you know what I'm saying? You want to learn how to base, you want to learn how to support black augers and why support it. Like information about black augers, contact them on the other level as well, right? You want to learn how to have independent movement, you contact me. You know what I'm saying? Everything that I'm talking about, I'm actively involved with it, you know, and you can contact me on all those levels, man. If you want to contact me just to learn about certain books and literature, man, and things of that nature, because I'm an avid learner, I'm an avid reader. I read everything. I digest everything. You know, you want to learn about certain books. You want to start, you want to help, you want to start your journey. You want to be, you know, you want certain advice to start your own journey or awakening your own kind or developing your own ideas. And, you know, you reach more on those levels as well, man. But I want to thank Knowledge Barn of Love, man, for having on this platform. Thank you both for pushing their platform, man, which is very conducive to us as a people. You know what I'm saying? Very educational and informative for us as a people, man. Very, very life-changing. I want to thank the brother for that, man. You know, I want to thank all the ancestors and loved ones, man, and elders, you know, that see you pushing that, see you grinding and shining, man, you know. And anybody who's in the Baltimore, Maryland, Virginia area, which you know they're behind the Black August the 1st, you know what I'm saying, 2020, at the Baltimore Church in Christ. And anybody, you know what I'm saying, who's a country new African involved in the struggle, there are new African Nation Day taking place March 25th to March 29th in Birmingham, Alabama. New African Nation Day. New African Nation Day is to commemorate the founder of the Republic of New Africa, which is March 29th, is everybody to commemorate that. You know, which will be next year, it'll be 51 years. I mean, 52 years. It'll be 52 years next year. You know what I'm saying? From the founder. 52 years. And that's basically what I all got about announcement I got right now, man, you know. Oh yeah, another thing, the Dr. Matulu, Bob Dr. Matulu, you know what I'm saying, his family members are pushing a campaign in regards to creating a moving documentaries, you know what I'm saying, about the brother in regards to the help create funds. You know what I'm saying, for his medical problem, which is cancer, and also, you know, the help for the life expense, trying to get transferred, man, because he didn't need it. Also, the pushing the aspect of trying to get him back in court, man, so he could be released. He'd be released, man, release on medical release to society, man. So, you know what I'm saying, you can go online, and look up Dr. Matulu's Cure on different little websites, man. And on his website, you got Dr. Matulu's Cure website, man. Or contact me. I can lead to the information about how you support the brother. How you support the elder, man. You know what I'm saying? Our struggle, man. And also, how you can support certain individuals that have any blind, that have wrote books like Adewale Olubah Shakur, Hashim Majenza, who's an artist. You know, who had drawings and everything that he can draw anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, the brother got a lot of art that he's pushing there for. You want to learn more about these brothers and learn about information, man, and get attain some information, contact me. Again, my contact information is Bomani Shakur. This is BOMANISHAKUR 80@gmail.com. And my social media handle is Bomani. Yahuru, Uhuru, Jihad, Jihad, Shakur, Shakur. That's my social handle on Facebook. My Instagram social handle is Bomani, Bomani, Yahuru, Uhuru. I'm going to say free the land, Afro liberation our time, and the struggle off of land independence. I'm going to say peace to the God, not the born of law. And push forward, you know what I'm saying? Keep your back straight and march forward, man, and live out this life, man. Be the best you that you can be in life, period. Don't matter. Nobody got to play. Be the best you, man, no matter what it is. Be the best you that you became in this life. And be the best you or wherever you want to be in life, period. Peace.
All right. Peace to you, comrade. Appreciate you coming through. You know, this is yours to keep. You can, you know, use it how you see fit. And I'll be in touch because I'm coming to something. You understand what I'm saying? I'm coming to something. And I'll be in Atlanta March the 7th out there for an event. So I'll be in Atlanta before March or something. Or I know I'll be out there for that Black Audit here. I ain't going to miss that out there in Baltimore.
On the black
in Baltimore,
yes sir.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah. So just let me know how.
Yes, sir, man. We got some good people lined up, man. Yeah.
All right. Enjoy you.
All right, bro.
Good day, comrade.
Yes, sir, brother. Salute, bro.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, family, we up out of here. Shout out to my brother, warrior comrade, Bomani. Rahul Jahad Shakur for coming through. George Jackson University, make sure y'all tune in to George Jackson University Radio and support that movement. It's like one of the last movements that's working with our political prisoners and continuing to hold the line and push the line. We can get up out of here. Probably be live on our YouTube channel celebrating and honoring our warrior ancestor, Dr. Vic, and Dr. Clark tomorrow to bring in that close Kwanzaa. So, got a lot going on. If you like what you heard, if you're new to the show, you can subscribe to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/DotHawkRadio. That's DotHawkRadio. Check us out at DTKApparel.com. And you can support the show financially. PayPal.me/DotHawkRadio. It's also Cash App. And $ knowledge going a lot. So we're about to hear one more time. Thank you to our brother Bomani for coming through and showing love and dropping all of those jewels and gems, you know, on the family. And we out of here. Peace and blacked out.
Pharmaceutical companies are the biggest drug dealers around. Fast food companies, the biggest killers around. Their relationship with the working class is so parasitic. Controlling the population, making people diminish. They promise the food is good and that you get in a deal. After you eat it, you don't care how lousy you feel. But what you spend for 3 meals in one day at Chick-fil-A, you could have took the Whole Foods and got a week worth of meals. Long term, it takes a toll on you. But you don't want to let go of what you've been eating your whole life. It got a hold on you. When you in that hospital bed, feeling dead, you gon' have a choice to make and don't you say I ain't want you. After that comes the prescriptions and you making decisions. For how long are you gonna be dependent? Depending on what you have, the medicine may fix it. But then you gonna end up at the doctor for something different. I've been having premonitions. If you keep on heading down this path and what you headed, you gonna live to give the world your message. You say you wanna save the world, you need to save yourself then. Can't fix your problems, then how you gonna fix somebody else's? I think you being selfish, temporarily pleasing your appetite. Consuming garbage, your body keep you up half the night. All you do is overeat right before you go to sleep. And then you be wondering why your stomach ain't acting right. What happened to manifestation, praying and meditation? How you gon' get to your higher self with no elevation? You started to heal from every wound of your devastation. Fell off for one day and it depleted so dedication. All of your expectations are too high. I don't miss a day if I give it my all, do I? But that ain't true. That type of attitude is only putting stress on you, prolonging that progress on you. And I see you been holding grudges against people that ain't relevant. Don't ever let nobody take you out your element. By nature, you're a heaven-sent, forgiving soul who bears the pain of everybody that didn't know. You need to let it go. The death in Nipsey hit me. He left this earth too quickly. His interviews be on repeat. I keep his knowledge with me. I saw a list of books he read and it sparked something in me. The type of man that made me want to learn about my history. This country ran by crooks. Why every time I look, I see more and more lives of my people getting took. Baited us with propaganda. Now they got us by the hook. The black man won't learn the truth because they put it in a book. The education system's failing us. We need to teach ourselves and our kids beyond what they're telling us because they got us backwards. They should teach taxes and spirituality practice. Agriculture, building wealth so we can stop being stagnant. I'm in the avatar state, talking to my ancestors. Mentally, I'm taking notes so I can implement their methods. I'm arming every black queen and king with the weapon of this knowledge. And it's up to you what you do with the lesson. I trust that the means are justified by the ends as I attempt to free my body, mind, and soul of this sin. To wash away disease, my body needs to cleanse. Cause the true healing comes from within.
Mother, Father, creator of the heavens and of the earth, make us a new people, new flesh and bones, blood and veins, hearts and minds, a revitalized people, spirit full of love and grace. Give us the strength, endurance, and faith to live as you would have us live, a clean life, a purified life, a natural and wholesome life. Mother, Father, Creator, I come pure so that I may be worthy of your blessing of everlasting peace, love, power, and joy, and radiant health. Right now, touch my heart, my mind, and my soul so I may walk, talk, think, and do and feed my body temple clean foods. I give thanks and praise to the Creator for absolute healing. Rest in your eternal hands. And only through your working, through me, can I heal myself. Upon the dawn of each day, by my way of purification, I commit and devote myself to you, Creator. Discipline, natural living, and determination in the way of purification will carry me through. No more death, destruction, and disease. This is true, for cleanliness is truth, light, and divine grace. Dearest Creator, I am willing to be as you would have me to be, a shining example of purity in word, thought, and deed. Dearest Creator, remove the wickedness of wars, the violence on this earth that flesh-eating brings, purifying me of the desire for any poisonous ways that plague this earth. As I stand before you in prayer, Holy Spirit, about you and all within and around you, I call on your angels of air, fire, water, earth to remove all temptation from my path and grant me the power not to stray nor sway to the left or right, but to stay on the royal road of purification. You've lifted me up and moved me through so that I may be cleansing champion of your light. In our pure natural state, Mother, Father, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, you made us. You made us well and full of light. So it is you I give thanks and praise as I commit myself daily to live in a righteous and pure way. Amen. Thanks to Queen Nafua. Thank you, Nipsey Hussle. Heal thyself.